Good morning. It is 9:26, time now for the People Speak. I'm Jeff. Hope you're having a good day. Talking today with Randolph County Commissioner David Holder. How are you doing this morning?
Very well, Jeff. It's always good to be here and have an opportunity to say a few words, and thanks for inviting me on, as always.
First time on this new year?
Yes, right. First time for 2019. It's a pleasant day outside. They're threatening a little rain, but it's warm, and warm for January the 7th is good.
Right. You know, it seems like the last few Januaries we've had a period of really warm weather, you know, in the 50s and 60s, and then we get closer to February and it just kind of falls out.
Yeah, it's probably going to be that way. December was kind of cool. I guess we're having a few warm days now, then it'll go back. Winter will show back up. There's no doubt about that.
That's true. So what's going on with the county right now?
Well, we're kind of in a quiet time right now as far as the general county operations go. We finished our budgets and our fiscal year and, you know, began the old one ended November 30th, new one began December the 1st of 2018. And so we're across the first month of December now and into the new fiscal year and just past the end of the December 31st and through the holidays. And so things are going to quiet down now for the next few months. There won't be a tremendous amount going on as other than just, of course, the regular operations of Randolph County. We're into a new year now, and we'll soon be opening up the border review, and new assessments will be going out. This will be a year where we have a mailing, you know, where they put the large assessment notifications in the paper and those types of things. And so there'll be quite a bit involved in that in the Board of Review. And we have to appoint one new person to a Board of Review. And we've had some discussions as to who that person would be. And of course, let you know as soon as it comes up, a decision is made. And basically, you have somebody that's willing to commit. Right. Oftentimes, it comes down to having someone who's willing to commit to do the work necessary for it, because that will need to start up in early to mid-February, I would say, as we keep moving forward with it, so we can stay on schedule and on task. Most appointments now are now in place and moving forward, and everything is going quite well.
All right, I'll tell you what, let's take a quick break.
Sure.
Here. We'll come back and talk some more with Randolph County Commissioner David Holder. You're listening to The People Speak on Real Country 1230 WHCO. And welcome back. It is 9:35. This is The People Speak. I'm Jeff. Hope you're having a good day. And we are talking again today with Randolph County Commissioner David Holder. And just briefly, you'd mentioned the Board of Review. What is the Board of Review?
The Board of Review, let me back up and tell you what the issue is, and then you'll know what the Board of Review does.
Okay.
But people have assessments on their real estate taxes, and from time to time, everyone is reassessed, and it's a regular process that goes through. Most of the time, assessments change very little, if any at all. But if you do have an assessment change that's not specific, something like, oh, I bought a new house, or I built a new building, but you have an assessment change on your real estate and you want to appeal that assessment change, you appeal that assessment change to the Board of Review. And they review the assessments and then make the determinations as to whether or not, you know, they'll accept your appeal, or they'll either take your number or continue with their number, or as many times happen, they, you know, split the baby in some fashion or another and go between it. But it's the Board of Review is the first step in that, in having your assessment valued. Now, once your assessment is locked in, the taxes are based off of that assessment. You don't have any appeal on the taxing districts, and most people don't understand this, but Randolph County, although they're the agent, use that term, they're the agent that collects the real estate taxes, most of the real estate taxes a person pays does not go to Randolph County. As a general rule, and it depends on where you live. For example, I live within the Sparta School District near Baldwin, Illinois. Probably about 65%, roughly two-thirds of my tax bill goes to the Sparta School District. They're the ones that are responsible for levying the taxes. They receive it. Now, you pay it to Randolph County, but Randolph County collects them, then they distribute those to the various different entities that collect the taxes. For example, like I mentioned, I'm in the Sparta School District. Roughly two-thirds of my tax bill, since I don't live in inside a community, in other words, I live in the country, not inside the city limits of a town, Sparta School District is the largest one. But besides that, on a real estate tax bill, I also have the Baldwin Fire Protection District. You'll hear me mention that from time to time. There's a certain assessment that relate to the Sparta Community Hospital a little bit. There's the SWIC, the old BAC. There's a number of different ones that I'm not inside the city limits of a village, so I don't have that particular one on it. And then, of course, there's the Randolph County portions. But on my particular one, the Randolph County portion is only about 25%, which actually goes to the county. Now, if you live inside the city limits of a city, it's probably even lower than that, because you have not only your school district, but you have your village or city. And each one taxes differently for different things. But anyway, so there's no appeal on the tax rate. The appeal is on the value of your property. So the Board of Review is the ones that are responsible for hearing those appeals and making any adjustments that they would deem necessary. And of course, if you want to appeal, and the opportunity comes out, and it'll be published in the paper for any of those who have reassessments, and there's specific dates that they go to, specific dates when it begins. It'll probably begin sometime in March, and usually it's open for 30 days. And at that point in time, if you want to, you call the courthouse and put in your application for appeal, and they'll schedule a date and time, and okay, you're before the Board of Review on this particular date and time, and then you show up and you present your case. If you're going to present your case, bring maybe this is more for when the Board of Review opens. I'll cover this again right. On People Speak when the Board of Review reopens. But if you want to submit your case, obviously bring documentation, such as comparable sales or your appraisals or those types of things. There's no reason to come in and say, "Gee, I just think it should be less." That's not
everybody thinks that.
Everybody thinks it should be less, but you need specific, credible evidence as to why you think yours is. No one comes in and says it's too low, but why you think yours has been valued too high, and compared to others around you, or those types of things.
Right.
And that's what the Board of Review considers. And there are a number of different people and businesses that go before the Board of Review. So anyway, that's a process that has to go and be completed on the Board of Review before you can send out the real estate tax bill. So each one is a step. And with the new election systems, the new assessor was elected to office, Doug Sockleven, and he was on the Board of Review before he was elected as assessor. So now we have to replace his position on the Board of Review with a new person. And so that's the process that we're in now. But that's probably more detailed than everyone wanted. And when the Board of Review opens, I'll discuss it more and how it operates on the People okay. Speak here. And that'll be later on in March, April type of thing. But that's the general position of it was. And that's why we now have an open position. And that's what we're dealing with at this point in time.
Yeah, you mentioned the different taxing bodies, and if you look at the county's portion is probably fairly small compared to.
It depends on specifically where you're at as to what the county's portion is. That the county's portion is the same on everybody, but as a total percentage of your tax bill, it depends on where you're located, which school district, which city village you're in, or if you're not, as myself, I'm not located within a city village. I live in what they call an unincorporated area, which is basically the country, as the old expression goes.
Right. So we were talking earlier off air when we come on the enterprise.
If you've heard me before, I'd be happy to talk about a little bit more. Randolph County, in conjunction with Monroe County, in conjunction with the different city villages of Columbia, Illinois, Waterloo, Illinois, Valmar, Illinois, Red Bud, Sparta, Evansville, and Chester, all as a group, went together to form to make an application for an enterprise zone. We worked on that the better part of 2018. I believe it began in the spring. And anyway, the application due date was December 31st. And I did see an email where that confirmation that application was actually submitted, I think, December 28th. Now, it will go on, the process of review of this application will go on for probably for most of 2019. Towards the end of 2019, we'll learn if we actually receive one or not. And if we do not, we have the opportunity to submit again at the end of 2019 and brush up on, you know, anything we want to add to, improve, any additions, modifications, and have a second run at it in 2019 to be determined 2020. If I remember correctly, there's about 8 spots that are open in the state of Illinois. There's 10 specific points that criteria that you need to meet, as many of them as you can. And I remember reviewing it back in the summertime when we were looking at it, and we met all 10 of them within our area. So I think we have a very good chance at receiving an enterprise zone, even in either in round one or round two. And so I'm looking forward to that. And basically what an enterprise zone is, it's a specific area laid out, not both of the counties, but specifically different specific spots, areas in all those different communities defined as an enterprise zone. And for any business locating in or building, expanding, et cetera, those types of things within that enterprise zone, they have available to them certain state of Illinois tax credits and incentives. It's mainly about Illinois sales tax, utility tax, those types of things. So it's one more incentive that you have, a tool that you have to kind of offer businesses to help them locate or encourage them to expand, that type of thing within your community area. It's a way to help attract businesses. And of course, that's what it's all about. Every other state, every other community out there in the country is doing the same thing, and if you want to compete and be a part of it, you have to be able to do these things as well. And so that's very important. And of course, you've probably heard about Illinois. It's not the most popular state for business to want to locate.
Right.
Of course, sometimes businesses, you have to be in a specific area. It's part of your business. But for those businesses that do not have to be located in a specific area, sometimes it's more difficult to get them to want to come to Illinois just to begin with. So anything you have extra to offer them is just really helps out, because without business and without economic growth, obviously there's no jobs. And of course, no jobs leads you. Everyone understands that point. So we'll leave it at that.
Yeah, and then you start losing people too, because
you lose population. Without employment, you lose population, your tax breaks shrinks, you don't have available services, et cetera, et cetera. Everything just basically, deteriorates. So you need to keep that economic engine running and moving forward. And this is just one of those things to help out. On the local levels, we have TIF areas. So if you incorporate TIFs, which are local tax issues, with enterprise zones, state tax issues. Of course, there's nothing here any of us can do about federal tax.
Oh,
but as of lately, federal tax rules have been improving quite a bit in the last couple of years. So among those three, you have quite a bit to offer businesses that would look at or be considered about entering the area.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
Let's go ahead and take our next break here.
Sure.
And we will come back and talk some more here. You're listening to The People Speak on Real Country 1230 WHCO. We'll be right back. And welcome back. We're talking with Randolph County Commissioner David Holder. And we were just talking about the Enterprise Zone and some other things.
Well, we'll move on to a couple of other little points. In the veto session, the state of Illinois, and this is late December, and maybe some of you have heard about it, but I'll go ahead and mention it. Mid to late December, just a little before Christmas, the 4-lane highway that has been discussed for literally decades. I remember about it when I was a child. They were discussing it. But essentially now, the idea would run from Marion, Illinois to basically south area of St. Louis, which is Columbia, Illinois. That's been discussed for many years, and over the years portions of it have been constructed. It now runs up to just north of Murfreesboro. But anyway, in order to get it considered, there's been a lot of discussion on it, and Mark Kena has done a lot of work on it. But anyway, we were able to, not we, but as a group, the contingency of all the counties who had been working on this as a group, were able to get it through the state legislature into a it's now a formal study. It's called the Southern Illinois Connector, and the state commissioned a study on it, which puts it on the 5-year plan of the Illinois IDOT, Illinois Department of Transportation. So there's supposed to be a study that will take place where they'll, you know, and there's many different groups that'll be a part of this study, you know, the different county leaders, local leaders, business leaders, union leaders, et cetera. But they put together a commission, and as of Randolph County, of course, I appointed Mark Keena to be on that commission. There's about 15 on it that will do a study, commission a study on the connector and have it finished and completed by the end of 2019, which puts it, like I mentioned, on the IDOT 5-year plan. Mm-hmm. Now, that doesn't mean it will be funded or will be done, but one thing's for sure, nothing will be done if it isn't on the plan.
True.
So at least on the plan brings it before them. Without being on the plan, it's just talk. So now it's moved from just talk to where it's actually a formal studies. And if that studies come back well, then they will then move to the next level, which is formal engineering, where now they draw plans, lay, you know, potential routes and plans, mm-hmm. et cetera. And then from formal engineering, then it would go to funding different portions of it. Now, I've heard offhand, I don't know exactly how accurate it is, but it's supposed to be extended a couple miles north of Murfreesboro, upwards towards Boku Creek, where they built the new bridge there a few years ago.
And
I believe they have the corridors pretty well open on up towards Virgins. And I think probably within the next 5 to 10 years, you'll see it build on upwards towards Virgins. They have some spots picked out in the Pinckneyville area. And, of course, over here where we live at, we're very much aware of where it terminates there, just south of Waterloo. And they will be looking at those corridors down to Redbud and south of Redbud. Now, filling in the distance between Pinckneyville and Redbud through Sparta is going to be a little more. But I think from those two ends, you'll see some movement on those somewhere in the next several years. But then filling in the distance will be a little bit more because, you know, there just isn't that much population here. But in time, it will be considered because it is a route that does need to be built at some point in time. It's just hard to say exactly when it will. But at least now it is under formal study, which gives it the opportunity of being considered. So that's a good, nice movement. That's a good prospect and something very positive that's happened in late December and now will begin in 2019.
Right. One thing definitely, as far as it would affect the cost of that, is going through Randolph County is the Kaskaskia.
The Kaskaskia is probably the largest river that, if I'm thinking correctly, that will need to go across it. The other one is Baku Creek down there north of Murfreesboro. It has to go across that. One of those bridges is already built. If you ever drive that, you say, now why did they put that bridge to the west side about, you know, 100 foot from where it was? Why didn't they just build it right back over that same spot, which it had been built? I can remember two different bridges there at that location. That is because that will be the what would be the southbound lane when it is actually built. Right now it's 2-lane. So that gives you an indication of where the future plan is for right there. And from there, you get across there. It's pretty much open land. There's nothing tremendously large to go across. Upwards to north of Virgins, they'll take that route through that area where there's not a lot of hills to get through on the north side of Ava. And as a general rule, it's a pretty decent route. It's not you're not faced with a lot of difficult landscapes to get over, you know, types of areas to get across. Kaskaskia River is another one. It's not formal, in terms of being extremely large. It's a type of bridge that can be built without what they call them wet piers, where you don't have to get in the middle of the river and put bridge supports. I mean, you can have your supports on each side and make it in one stretch across. And that's important when you get into the large rivers where you have to actually get down into the river to work to build a bridge. True. It becomes a much more expensive proposition, where this one is more straightforward. So there's no major things to get across. And so that helps it. So we'll see how that develops over the years. As we've watched, it's kind of slowly come in. And that's been very beneficial. And I think you'll continue to see slowly progress moving forward on it.
All right, well, it sounds like we're out of time, but...
Well, it's always good to come in and have a chance to say a few things. Nice speaking with you.
And we will talk to you again in a couple weeks.
Sure thing. You have a wonderful day.
All right, you too. For the People Speak, I'm Jeff. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. Have a great day.